Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church as we gather on a very frigid day outside. If you need, I see that the front of the church near the heaters in the front seats, there is some available seating. So if you're getting a little cold, you can always move up towards the front. We enjoy the ability to be here and celebrate once again the good gifts that our Lord has for us. There's a number of events coming up here within our congregation. Our annual meeting is going to be following next Sunday's worship service. And I know the last day of the month continues to be our peaceful gathering. So spread the word and look forward to being together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Our study this morning about the faith will continue to occur after service. Some misconceptions that people have about Christianity. And Wednesday, we do look forward to our psalm study at 10 a.m. Additional announcements will come at the end of the service. I know there's a few that did not make the whiteboards. So at this time, I invite you to sing with me our opening hymn, numbered 905. The Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you richly and daily forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our hearts, and graciously receive our prayers and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please speak with me responsively the introit. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing glory to him. Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
So great is your power, that your enemies come cringing to you.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done.
He is awesome in his deeds for the children of men.
Blessed be God,
because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High. Everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days,
through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read along with me the gradual.
He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men.
Today's epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as you're able for an Alleluia and verse. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please speak with me the Nicene Creed as we confess our Christian faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated at this point in time. Any children that are present are invited to come forward for our children's message. So good morning. It is a good morning. I'm glad that you are here today. We are here in worship. I have a question about God. If you were listening to the Old Testament lesson, the one that came from Exodus, did God let Moses see him face to face? Were you guys listening? Well, it says, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." So, that's what God told Moses. And that was a long time ago, right? Before Jesus. And then Jesus came. But do you and I still see God face to face? No, we don't see God face to face. And sometimes that might make it a little more difficult, right? If your parents want to talk to you, sometimes they get you right in front of them, and what might they do in order to really get you to listen to what they're saying? What do people maybe do, like parents? They do what? Well, they might yell at you. They could raise their voice in order to try to get you to understand, but that might be more because they're a little bit frustrated and exacerbated. I know that might happen to me at times. But sometimes if I'm trying to talk to my kids and I really want them to know that I'm intentional about something, what might I do? What am I doing right now? Do we make eye contact with you? Yeah. Sometimes we try to make eye contact with people, and therefore we hold their attention. But if we don't see God face to face, if he's not looking at us, at least we don't see him looking at us with his eyes, how are we able to know the things that he really wants us to know that are really important for us to hear and to learn? If he doesn't do it through speaking to us and making eye contact, how does God let us know the things that we want to know and should know for our lives, right? Is that a good question for Christians? How does God make sure that we know these are the things that we should know? Since he doesn't look at us face to face, it's through his word that he gives to us, right? His word. We don't only see, but we also hear, right? Yeah, we can hear also. And that is how God comes to us, through his word. As you guys are here listening to our readings from God's word, from Exodus and from Ephesians and from John, we hear not just a story, but we hear God's word of truth for us. And so when you are reading your Bible, you know that these are God's words to you, and they're all important. Some of them may be a little more harder to understand, and some may take some lessons and some help from others to get us to know, but God speaks to us in his word. And so that is how you might say he tries to capture your attention by sending his word. And in his word, we have the good news of Jesus, our Savior, right? And we have the good news that we are forgiven all of our sins. And so that's why you and I and all Christians are looking to hear God's word, because God's word is what gives us life. So I invite you to pray with me as we pray with our congregation. Dear Heavenly Father,
dear Heavenly Father,
we do not see you face to face.
We do not see you face to face.
And yet you impart to us, how important it is to be connected to you. How important it is to be connected to you. Through your word, the Bible. Through your word, the Bible. Please help me always trust your words. Please help me always trust your words. To be filled with hope and joy. To be filled with hope and joy. And to look to share them with others. And to look to share them with others. So they too would have life everlasting. So that they too would have life everlasting. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning. And our congregation is going to continue and sing hymn 651. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon comes from the text from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Last week we gathered and we spoke and focused on Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, and how baptism cleanses you and me from our sins as we are connected to our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus' baptism certainly is the wonderful ways for you and for me to look at the Christian faith, to know that yes, we were born sinful in our nature, having inherited that sinful nature from our parents as they did from theirs, all the way back to Adam and Eve. It's a continuation of the story of God and His creation, but it also focuses on how God seeks to restore His creation to what He had first created it to be. A creation without sin, without evil, without death. And our baptisms allow us to look forward to that new creation that God promises to us. The creation restored as He sought from the day when Adam and Eve fell into sin. So you and I, we are connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He, having died upon the cross for all of our sins, shedding His blood, being the atoning sacrifice, taking the sins of the world upon Himself in that act of obedience to God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus died for our sins, freeing us from the destruction that sin would bring to us in our lives, allowing us to look forward to a life with God for all of eternity, when we would be restored to the relationship that Adam and Eve first knew in the Garden of Eden, when they would walk with God. So we will be able to walk with God, to see Him face to face. But that day is not yet today. Yes, we are saved in our baptism. We are cleansed from our sins. And yet, we still see in ourselves, in the world around us, that taint of sin. And we still see a sinful nature that at times seeks to reject God and His creation, the orders that He has given. Our lesson from Ephesians is in the fifth chapter. Paul has already spoken much to the people of Ephesus in regards to living as God's people. What it is that God has, yes, already done for them, but yet, now what? And it's the same thing you and I and the world struggle with today in the Christian church. Yes, God has redeemed us from our sins. Our baptism cleanses us from all of our sins. So now what? What do we do as we wait for that day when our Lord promises His return? And how is it that we should live with one another, still being affected by sin in this world? What's the best path forward for Christians, and even for those who do not yet know Christ? Are there better ways for us to live? And there certainly are. Paul's been writing to the Ephesians about how they should be living. They should live a life, he has said prior to today's message, a life that worships God for what He has done, that gives Him thanksgiving for all of His works. And then we hear today's message. A message that comes within the context of the book of Ephesians. It doesn't just stand out there alone, but it continues a message of encouragement. Paul seeks people to see what it is that God has done first. He is the creator, the author of life. He has established all of His creation. He has ordered it, and He has given to certain things a proper place and a proper time. And even so with humanity, He has given certain responsibilities to men and others to women. And so we see in one another gifts that have been given from God to us. Paul is not saying that one is greater than the other, but rather bringing us to recall that there are certain responsibilities and certain burdens that we bear as we live in the created order that God has given. Our lesson starts out, as we heard, saying with these words, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and as he himself its Savior. So now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. It's not saying that the husband is better than the wife, more important. Rather, it is saying that the husband has responsibilities of headship, of leading the family, even the wife. They are not equal in this regard. God's gift was given to the husband for this, but yet also the responsibility. And so, we hear that wives should allow the husband to submit, to allow it to occur that the husband would do as he has been tasked by God, to be the head of the family. And then follows Paul explaining the responsibility that the husband has. It's not just that Paul is seeking to tell one what to do, but both have responsibilities that are God-given. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. We are called to see the relationship between husbands and wives as similar to the relationship between Christ and his church. There is love and there is respect. There is love on the heart, on behalf of the husband for his wife. There is love of the wife for her husband. But there is also respect that is between the two of them that comes from God, seeing each fulfill the God-given responsibilities that we have received. Responsibilities of man given to them, and responsibilities of women given to them. Not always the same responsibilities, but responsibilities that God has given in good order. And so we see this is a way that we are able then to worship God, to thank and praise him, that these responsibilities have been given, that there is love in what God has created. God seeks to love his creation, and that we would love one another. And the love that the husband is to show the wife is similar to the love that Christ has shown to the church. The love that he speaks of in John chapter 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The husband, it says, is to be willing to love his wife even to the point of laying down his own life for her. And what greater love is there than that? There is no greater love, for that is the love that God has shown us through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we see a husband is to love his wife in a sacrificial way, loving her, caring for her, seeking to provide for the needs that she has in this life. And that is why we know that God desires us to have those that are of similar and of the same faith as we, that believers are connected to other believers, so that they too would understand the roles that God has given to them. A husband who does not believe, who does not willingly give of himself in the way that Christ does for the church, is certainly a difficult husband to be paired with. And similarly, as a wife, if she does not have the same faith in Jesus, may not seek to submit to the husband, to the role that God has given to him. And so we want both husbands and wives to seek to live out the responsibilities that God has given to each for the good of their relationship, for the good of the family that God might bless them with, for the good of the society. For this ordering comes from God, and his ordering we know to be good. Today we've seen God's order in action. The sun, it rose once again, just as God has ordered it to. Yes, we're in some very cold days here, but that's because it's the winter time, and that's the way that God has ordered it. But we know that after this will come spring, the daylight is getting longer, and we will see the abundance of the earth once again. This comes from God, our Heavenly Father, and is for our benefit. Similarly, God has ordered the family, fathers and husbands, to be those that lead their families to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And wives are to continue to follow where their husbands would faithfully lead. And so we know that in this relationship, we see God at work. God at work in the husband, God at work in the wife, so that there might be love and respect for one another, so that we would be allowed by the other to do the work that God has tasked us with. Husbands, to be good husbands, as Christ is the head of the church. Wives, to love their husbands, to respect them, as the church does Christ, our head. Yes, this is right. This is good. We are called to live within the boundaries that God has established for us in his creation. This is how the church should seek to move forward, to live in forgiveness of one another until that day when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns. Certainly the earth is not perfect today. We know all too well the taint of sin and the evil in our lives. But we also know from God the good ordering that he has placed within his creation, and the blessing that it is as we live according to that ordering. May you continue to seek to live as God has ordered you to live out the blessings that he has given to you, to know that, yes, there are roles and responsibilities that each one of us has, and we can help the others fulfill their roles and their responsibilities as we each look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. We see this in our Savior Jesus Christ. We, all together, look to him as our head, and we thank God that he sent Jesus to cleanse us so that we have the hope of everlasting life. We are washed clean from all of our sins, and that he calls each one of us to tasks to help further his creation. May you be faithful in the tasks that God has given to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I invite you to please stand as we continue with the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son shed his blood to redeem us and make us his holy and spotless bride. Sustain us in faithfulness and increase our desire for him alone. Turn our hearts from every false god, that we may receive the full joy of life with Christ now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, lead all pastors and church leaders to imitate the servants at Cana and do as Christ instructs. Give them boldness to preach the law and gospel rightly and graciously provide for all their earthly needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of marriage and family. Make the relationship between each husband and wife a picture of Christ's ceaseless love for his bride, the church, that we may live in your forgiving love. Grant parents your care as they raise their children, and give every father and mother a zeal that points them constantly to your ways and your forgiveness. Fill children with obedience, respect and love for their parents. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guide and give wisdom to the nation and our president, the governor of this state, and all judges and magistrates. Protect those who serve us as firefighters, police, disaster workers, and medical professionals. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, remember the sick and those who care for them, the dying and those who mourn, those who are struggle with mental illness, and those who have especially asked for our prayer requests for Glenn, Tracy, Leroy, and Perry. Heal them according to your will and grant them comfort and peace in their trials. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Heavenly Father, recall your people from the temptation, strife, and captivity of this world. Return them to the rich land of your church, where the fruits of your Son's precious death flourish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your grace you have instituted holy matrimony, in which you keep us from unchastity and other offenses. We implore you, send your blessing on every husband and wife. Do not let them provoke one another to anger and strife, but let them live peaceably together in love and godliness. Strengthen them with your gracious help in all temptations, and help them to rear their children in accordance with your will. Grant us all to walk before you in purity and holiness, putting our trust in you, and leading such lives on earth that in the world to come we may have everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated as our tithes and offerings are collected. Has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. I invite you to stand as we continue with the service of the sacrament, and we receive God's love in his very body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally, because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As the glory of your presence once filled the ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.